Okay, we need to get rid of this computer, and then I think we can start the show.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to sleep this thing.
Oh, fuck, any time now. Jesus, okay. Let's start the show, bro.
It's slow.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and you stole my water. I haven't had any water yet. You just drank all my water, and then... Is this one mine, or is that one?
I don't know. Dude, this is like three fucking stooges right now. Let's get this thing going. Like, holy shit. So, hey guys, what's going on? It's Cam. I don't know what camera to look at, but
just
I'm looking.
Just check out that one right there.
Okay, yeah. Hey guys, what's going on? It's Cameron Barkey here at the Thought Exchange. I'm with our co-host here.
Steve Van Deese. What's going on?
Steve Van Deese. And we have a very special guest tonight in the show. Tell us your name, buddy.
The one time you don't say my name.
I know, I did that on
every
purpose.
Every time this guy sees me, every time, and he can be the loudest person in a crowd, it's just, Lee Savage! And I'm like, I'm one of these times, I'm just going to reach back and be like, Cameron Barkey or something. I don't know.
And he's even got a name tag on.
Yeah,
bro.
He's even got a Savage on his thing. Holy shit. I actually like that. That's some cool branding. I like the pink. It's a little, do you know Kill a Cam from 2000?
I don't.
You don't know Kill a Cam, Cameron?
I don't.
Oh, yeah. He was one of the first people to, a rapper who wore pink and everyone made fun of him all the time. Back
in
2000.
There's a rapper now Dipset. That's dressed up in rainbow colors.
Yeah, he's we don't need to talk about him right now. Yeah, we don't need to go into the state of hip hop. Anyways, back in the day, Killer Cam used to wear a lot of pink. He wore pink fur and pink boots.
Okay, I remember Killer Cam. I remember that guy.
Yeah, Killer Cam was dope. Yeah, I think he's still kicking around. But anyways, it's very Killer Cam-esque of you.
Thank you.
And it's very cool. Anyways, so let's get this thing started off here. Lee Savage, we're gonna ask you a little bit about yourself, but first. Just introduce yourself and kind of tell us where you've been at and what you're up to right now.
Where I've been at is, I mean, where we've all been at.
Well, just start off and say, I'm Lee Savage, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I am Lee Savage, but that's been established with the screaming already.
Yeah. No, exactly. Well, Lee Savage has a very interesting life, I'd say. He's done many different things.
Well, just the same as each of you, right? This is why, like, the only reason I'm here is because there's history here, right? It's not like unknown history where you find somebody really cool. Like, what's the guy's name? Killer Cam.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he's just, like, you find him and you're like, fuck, this guy's good, right? And people just start watching him. But, I mean, whatever people are going to up and down for, it doesn't matter. That's their emotions.
Okay.
Kind of thing, right? Where you, me, him, we've all been brought together multiple times.
Yeah, and weird little different areas is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, so how sad are you about Sammy Streets gone missing?
Oh, man, I talk to Sammy, not all the time, more than
Sammy Domestic now. We lost Sammy Streets.
I should call him up. But yeah, no, I am like all over the place right now because it's just been like, yeah, we've been talking about whirlwind stuff.
Yeah, it's been a big world. Let's start like this. How do you two know each other? And then we'll go how we know each other. And then we'll kind of intermingle that and then go where Lee Savage is now. Because before the episode, we were talking a little bit about you're working on some projects.
Yeah.
Lee Savage is actually an actor, aspiring actor. And he's been in a
few commercials.
A few films, a few this, a few that. We're gonna eventually get into that. So let's start with how you guys kind of met and then we'll go from there.
So we met through Sammy Ockpro.
Yeah.
Sammy Streets, aka Sammy Domestic now. Did you ever read that post? I put rest in peace, Sammy Streets. And then he responded and he goes, I'm not fucking dead, man.
Yeah, I reacted to it.
that was a couple of years ago. But yeah, how did you guys meet?
That's through Sammy, yeah.
Sammy.
So I actually met Sammy back in Once Upon a Time where we both worked as just security guards.
Yeah.
And he was still playing in the... CFL.
In the CFL.
Yeah.
Oh, he was playing in the CFL. Now he's like a football coach or something like that, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a university coach in Toronto.
Toronto, yeah.
For the Ryerson. Yeah. Ryerson University.
Oh, okay. That's sweet. Yeah. So he kind of made it.
He's made it. Yeah.
He's one of six, I think, in Canada, right? Defensive
coordinators.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, and I mean, he's fantastic. Like, he's loving it up there. They're having a great time. From what I see, I haven't talked to him in a while. He's gonna like beep in. He's gonna but yeah, that's how we met. Is through Sammy. Sammy and I just became really close friends. And then you and Sammy had just been working together. Like,
yeah, work.
That's what you can talk about. Where it's just like you're working, right? So that's, we all just kind of.
What were you guys doing for work?
That was him and Sammy, right? We just actually just hung out. Realistically, what have we done for work together?
I don't think we ever have worked together.
No.
Never have. So like you were. What I remember, there's a few things we kind of gone through. So, like, during that time, Sammy and I were working at Athletes Nation.
Yep.
Working with all the professional athletes and stuff like that. I was doing some personal training out of there, as well as the video production out of there. Mm-hmm. And then at the time, I think you were working up in Camrose.
Yes.
Yeah, you were up in Camrose at that time. And then we would always hang out on the weekends. And that's how we ended. That's how I met you, was through the weekends, because you were hanging out at the Treasury.
That's
funny.
That's how Lee and I met, because I was bouncing in the Treasury and Lee was doing all the marketing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What a weird, how did you even get on with that? Because I've talked about the Treasury on this show. I haven't really said the name. I just said I used to be a bouncer and like the weird fucked up two or three years of my life that was. As far as like, I was going back on that and I was like, holy shit. I've had like people die on me. Like I've seen people get curb stomped.
You were talking about that.
Yeah. I got thrown into like a mix of like crazy. Dude, I was dealing with, like, HA guys. Like, it was a wild life. Like, that could go, like, I was, like, a good dude in, like, a very bad situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember, okay, there's something to, you read Think and Grow Rich, correct? Yeah.
No,
okay, yeah. So, anyways, it's like a good book for, like, mental.
I know, like, yeah.
Yeah, and there's this one thing, and it's near the beginning of the book, and it talks about being in, like, a certain environment, and it says, he's specifically talking about criminals, and the police officer says that at first when someone's introduced to crime, they abhor it, but if they're there for a long enough time, they just get used to it, and then they're there for too long enough time, they become a part of it, right? And then I was at the abhorrent stage, and then I was like, yeah, whatever, okay, a little bit of cocaine, yeah, this, whatever, yeah, some guy just got shot, okay, cool, whatever, and then I was getting involved in it, and I was like, whoa,
wow,
this is getting a little wild, yeah. Yeah, it was getting pretty crazy. But yeah, that's how we met, and that was like a crazy ass environment. What were you doing at that time?
I was just doing this, marketing and stuff for them. I ended up doing a lot of admin work too, but like they just lost everything, right? And I was going to come in and just kind of go next door, bring in the crowd from lunches and stuff like this, and actually kind of fill their lunchroom. They had the room downstairs underneath, right?
Yeah.
So, and that was their kitchen.
Yeah, that was a kitchen, yeah. It was supposed to be a martini bar with, like, food and hors d'oeuvres, right? And they were supposed to be a higher-end place for lunch and stuff.
Well, they've always tried for that, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was a lot of people involved in trying to create what they actually wanted from that, right? So I only had to, like, I actually talked to, like, maybe the last three who had operational control of it. And they're all really smart. They ran multiple businesses, multiple companies, right? So everybody's actually got themselves together and they can just run a club, right? They can just float it up for however, let's just get a pulse in this, see if it works.
Yeah.
And when you get down to a point where you're just like, we have nobody left, we're just going to hire this guy.
Is that what happened?
Well, I mean, I feel like that's the case for me.
Yeah.
Cause I can't claim anything, but I just, it was
the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I knew what I wanted. I went in with a plan and I talked to them about it. But things turned a different way. It changed instantly, right? Because then it was operational. And I'm literally, I have a bartender shoving my tie into my shirt. Like, you're going to get shit all over that as I'm trying to fix, like, something underneath, right? And it's just spilling. And, I was not meant for that job at all, by any means necessary, right? But I just did what I could with what I had, like, where I was. And I mean, the only thing I could say I possibly did was like raise money and code check. Like, whoopee, you got a couple extra. Right. But like something went right. Yay.
That was my first interaction with you in a 3-piece suit with a tie and everything and like a little fedora.
Fuck.
Yeah. You just rolled up in there, eh?
Dude, I'm theatrical.
Yeah, I know. You were. Yeah, so what's your background? So you're saying you're theatrical. Let's go down that route. Like, what's the background? I know you've done some marketing stuff. Yep. As well as like where'd that all come from, as well where did the theatrics come from? Like, you've done
marketing
a lot of different things.
Marketing has always just been a passion.
Okay.
Right? And the only actual money I've ever made in marketing was in experiential marketing.
Yeah.
But that was a job.
Okay.
Right? There's other things in marketing everybody does that they love, that they enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But there was also things that it just allowed me to travel at the same time, right? Where I was working in different areas at different times. And I was having a good time, but it's just you're running something that's just traveling with you. Right? So, and you do that for a long enough period of time, call it marketing, you're a roadie in a different way. Right? You're just traveling constantly.
What's experiential marketing?
Like, it's like guerrilla marketing. That would be like a layman's. Like, if you went to, let's say, all right, let's pump this, ECL6.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw a bunch of people with shirts, and they had a X brand, you know, and they were handing out X material, right? And people are, oh, cool, awesome, thanks.
They're part of an experience, awesome. And then you're marketing based on the experience.
Oh, there's a lot of those. They're like
tons, and there's and you can make a very good living off of it.
Yeah, too. Like promo girls, they do that all the time.
100%. Yeah.
Or like the dancing girls, like
go-go girls. That's a little different, but it's kind of the same premise. But like you go to, I've done that job before. It was called Reef Moxie, I think, was the name of the company.
There's tons of them. I have a list of like 60 different companies, right?
Yeah.
And then boutiques popped up, right? And then like big companies like Taxi Drop.
You were doing like brand ambassador work?
Yeah, tons of it.
That's what I'm saying, brand ambassador. Yeah, you show up at the auto show and you're like, hey, I'm working with Volvo today and I'm going to...
Yeah.
And you wear their shirt and then you're just like, hey, what's going on? Nice to meet you. So you're like just a brand ambassador at that time.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? But these were bigger than just like, let's hire the local people.
Yeah.
We have something to put on the road. We need to have that experience the entire time on the road. So we just like
take you go with
six
the whole
people.
Team. Yeah. Team.
Oh.
It's like almost like the Red Bull girls. They drive around in the vehicle. They're working for Red Bull, but they drive around in the little car and hand out Red Bulls all over.
You remember Amber Victoria?
No.
That was on our show?
Yep.
Yeah, she did that for, excuse me if I get it wrong, but it was for... There's a cycle thing. There's like she followed around a tour de France or something like that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and she was like, she went from stage to stage to stage to stage to stage, like at the finish line at every time and stuff like that. I forget the exact position, but she followed that thing around for like 2 months or a month or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So very kind of similar to what you were doing. You just follow, okay, you're a brand ambassador that follows the brand around at the events.
The events, wherever the trade shows are happening, you just go there and you're running the trade shows.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty cool. You also did some stuff with a video game company. You're doing some stuff with them too for a bit.
No. What? It's like I don't even know my own life. Steve's like, no, you did something, and I'm gonna be like, oh yeah, that's right. Because I look at you and I'm like, video game. The only video game stuff I did was like escape game stuff.
Escape game stuff. You never promote any.
We're on brand ambassador still. Yeah. PlayStation. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
PlayStation would have it in West Edmonton Mall, and I would just be one of the brand ambassadors there. Hey, try the VR.
Yeah.
Try the VR. Let's put you in a shark simulator.
What's the metrics on that? Are you supposed to get a certain amount of people to interact in a certain way?
Vanity metrics.
Vanity. What do you mean? What does that mean?
Okay, this is why I have like a super strong opinion on marketing. They're false metrics, man. They're based off of a confirmation bias, and you just want to continue getting those things because what they're doing is there's something there. There's something being created elsewhere that's giving them abundance elsewhere, right? Because of this, though, right?
What do you mean?
So the one at tour I did there, it was supposed to cost like $600,000, ended up costing $3 million just in the first year, and then they continued it 4, 5, 6 years after.
Who were you touring for? What was the name of the company?
It was TELUS.
It was okay. So you're touring with TELUS.
Yeah.
Budget was $600,000 and it ended up being $3 million?
Oh, they end up spending. They just spent more and more and more, right? And then every year they just spent more and more and more just to keep this experience going because the ad revenue that would have bring in would just triple it, right? It didn't matter. They weren't making a lot of money on the physical thing.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yo, but they were making so much money on the people advertising on the event.
Well. Ah, so they don't really give two shits about the product. Oh, so you're just like a... That would actually really...
So it's the
did
event.
Did you feel kind of shitty?
No, well, yeah.
You're
yeah.
just like, I'm just kind of a lost leader right now. Like, I'm just like here being a little puppet. That's what I would feel like. I'd be like,
kinda,
oh,
yeah, yeah, no, no.
Like, what's the point of this?
That's the thing is, like, I quit all marketing stuff and everything. And I went snowboarding for a year. That was like 2016. I was like, I have crap footage for that. But it's a Samsung thing, but it's like old footage that I'm going to have to use one time or another. Yeah. Just in like a B-roll cut or something like that.
Yeah.
But the 2017, it's kind of the similar, but I have at least like I went snowboarding and I met some really cool people. Right. Like my whirlwind of people come into my life and they're freaking fantastic. Right. Like the atmosphere. Right. It just like shows up Matrix style.
That's the one. Like, that's the one thing that I think is different about what we do. Like sometimes we don't make a shitload of tons of money where you're like, I'm super rich. But the amount of experiences, like I can't put a value on the experiences and shit like that I've had the opportunity to be in. Like I've been in a bunch of movies. I've been like, I've worked a bunch of Oiler games. I've been in the back, you know, hanging out with like, nobody does this type of stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
it's, you know,
like who does all of this stuff? Yeah. Like if I would have put like the same thing, like you're the amount of shit that you're doing, like in terms of like being on different film sets and being on different, commercial sets and like, you know, traveling around and meeting a bunch of people here and doing this thing and beheading it. It's like the experiences are pretty cool. Like I remember myself, like even the most, did you do anything with the Molson Indy when they showed up?
No.
That was a sick little experience.
You had a lot of snaps and Instagrams of that, right? So
yeah.
Like I watched a lot of you posting of that too.
So like cool. I remember when the Molson Indy came in here and I got a chance to go and help set that thing up and it was like you're just driving around in golf carts, like.
And that's a type of the experience, right? Yeah. That's what I mean, is experiential marketing just grows, right? And that's all it's really about nowadays. Like if you look at front end stores, it's all about like, let's just throw an experience up. Samsung now just has an experience. Come into our house. Oh, it's a Samsung house. Well, you can order any of these home. Just click it from here.
Hmm.
I'm going to buy this. I like it. It's going to my house right now.
That's interesting.
I enjoy this area.
Okay, so are they doing like VR stuff? So you walk in and it's a VR and...
Dude, we're not in China. Like they're doing that over there. They're doing that. Well, I don't even know. I'm ignorant in that way.
Yeah.
You
want to talk about China? What's going on in China right now?
No.
But I feel like there's a lot more technology elsewhere where it makes them like it's a realistic thing to think of. Like, well, of course, yeah, they do that over here, right?
Yeah.
Maybe Dubai has the most advanced technology in the world in my mind, right? Like that's what I know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it could be a place where you walk into a store and it's just like, yeah, it's a VR headset. Right.
Yeah, Dubai is ridiculous, man.
Yeah, Dubai is on some next level shit.
They're on some next
chances
level.
Are a Google search will find it. But
yeah. Well, I think the fact that it's like all that the whole VR thing, I was talking to him about that, is that once we start getting into becoming with our wearables instead of our holdables, so right now we all have our holdables, once we go into wearables and people start wearing glasses, like it's augmented reality, when you look at a photo and it basically comes alive, is no different than what Google does and takes a picture of all the atmospheres around you. So they already have the data of everything that's there. So when you're walking down the street and you look at that building, it's a photo that's in Google's database. It's now all of a sudden someone
can do things to it.
Some person's going to come out of the store and go, hey, what's going on? You interested in our store? And then like the more people that do it, you're just going to be walking down the street with these VRs and everyone's fucking advertising.
This is getting Black Mirror.
Yeah. It'll be pretty bad.
Like, no, I haven't even watched any of that, by the way.
Haven't?
No. Okay, I'm going to say, for an actor, I don't watch nothing. But I do, like every now and then. But like Black Mirror, I haven't seen. I stopped watching Game of Thrones after season 5. I haven't seen Altered Carbon. I haven't seen Breaking Bad. I haven't seen...
Breaking Bad was really good.
And I don't deny it and I don't doubt it. Like, I love the actors in those things. They've gone on to do even better things and amazing things, right? So... It's interesting. I'm hearing rumors that I want to find out if are true because I fucking believe that they are. Taron Egerton as Wolverine.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know.
Kingsman.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, Russell just pops up.
Russell DePeele. Did you ever go see
what's the latest movie you saw?
Like the latest movie is in
Rocket Man?
No.
Yeah, Rocket.
I saw Rocket Man from 1984. Remember that came out?
No, Taron Egerton, Eddie the Eagle. No, okay.
I don't watch much TV, to be honest.
He played Eddie the Eagle in the movie.
That's why. Like, he's even got endorsement.
Well, what's this? Hugh Jackman's getting old now. He must be in his 50s.
Yeah,
It's time to maybe pass the torch. But like, I can't see any other Wolverine other than him. It's kind of weird.
I feel like I've heard him talk about it, where he's just like, you know, the guy from Eddie the Eagle.
Because he worked with him.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the black woman James Bond.
See, I don't know nothing
about it. The first one?
She's coming out, isn't she? Isn't there a James Bond that's like a female version?
There was always a, there was the first one. I met her. She was at a, she literally was at last year's burlesque show. Was either last year or the year before? She was at the
doing what? Like burlesque.
Doing burlesque. She was the James Bond girl. She was the first black James Bond girl.
So she's like a, well, that's like
she's the like
only.
The original.
What do you mean original?
The original black James Bond girl. Like the, like she was there with
this
the
is
twin
a, so thing? This is hold like, on, hold on, hold on. I'm gonna you guys are the exchange here is yeah, that's the original black James Bond girl from the original James Bond movies.
From the original James Bond movie, there was two girls that James Bond fought.
He's talking about the newest new one. James Bond is a
it's not James Bond, it's like a female, it's a girl.
Oh, it's like double 6A or whatever.
I don't know what it is. It's just I was
it's
asking.
It's not James Bond. It's Janelle Bond.
James
or
Bond
something?
Is
James
now
Bond's daughter.
Dame, I don't know. She played a mermaid in another movie, but James Bond is now a girl.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Lisa?
Okay, well, hold on a second. Hold on a second.
I'm interested to see it.
Is he still got the same name?
Yeah. Like, is it James still Bond? Or, I don't know. It'll probably be like I don't know. Maybe it will. It'll be just James.
Like, is it James, or did James Bond just all of a sudden turn into a female?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. That's, what, that's the way the world's going.
Right you
now.
Get the right female.
That's what I was trying to
and
tell
she's,
you.
And she's got a dedication to making that name sound sexy. She's going to walk into a scene, and it's just going to be like, dun, 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 dun. And it's, she's just going to say it, and everyone's going to be like, oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't know. It's a little weird.
Do you go from Sean Connery to this? Like, yeah. I don't understand what's going on.
You go from Roger Moore to this?
Yeah. Roger Moore to this? Like, what happened here?
Yeah, I don't know. It's, yeah. There's a lot of pandering going on. I see a lot of pandering to.
I think they're running out of ideas.
No. They're not. They're just trying to make money and tap into a new audience.
Maybe they become creative with it. I don't know. Maybe it turns out good.
I guess.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it. So.
No, that was all over my Facebook feed for a long time.
But that's the thing is we haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah.
There was just a little glimmer for a little bit, so it causes that little ruckus. Everyone's like, oh, what, James?
That's kind of the same thing when they had the female Ghostbusters. How did that do?
Probably not that good. Kind of like the WNBA. Somewhere just kind of tanks.
Oh, my God. Nothing is safe.
I know nothing about the WNBA.
It's just that's exactly, yeah, that's my point. It just doesn't make a lot of money, that's all. I think it chalks up a loss in the NBA.
That's like having men synchronized swimming.
Why? That's pretty sexist of you to say.
I don't know. It's just like the same thing. It's not really like how many people watch men synchronized swimming. Do they even have men synchronized swimming?
I bet you they do.
I don't think they do. You ever see that Saturday Night Live skit?
Men synchronized. That's old, man.
Remember the Saturday Night Live skit with Dana Carvey and like Steve Martin, I think it was? Where he was just like, his brother. They were the two brothers practicing synchronized swimming, but like they would do it standing up because he's like, was it Martin Short? No, it was Steve Martin. He goes, I'm not that strong a swimmer, because he would wear his inflatable things. But they were thinking that he was going to learn how to swim by the time they enter it into the Olympics.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
I vaguely remember it. Yeah, that's old, man. You're going back to the 90s on that, I think.
I don't know. Do they have men synchronized swimming?
I don't know. If they don't, I'm offended.
Is this...
Russ, can you Google if they have men synchronized swimming for us? I have no idea. That's a wild venture. But yeah, anyways, out of that rabbit hole and back to Lee Savage.
Yeah.
So Lee Savage, you're an aspiring actor or mid-career actor, or what should we call you here?
Mid-career actor. Wow, that's a good one. I like aspiring actor.
You got that in your art as that.
Yeah, I saw her the other day. Yeah, actually today she let us in. Actually, we didn't get let in because I said no, because I didn't want to get kicked out again.
Oh, that's why the door was unlocked.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't come in. Anyways, Lee Savage, so we're talking about acting. What got you started into that, and where have you been, and where are you now, and where are you going?
Well, you remember, which one of you guys said that was in Camrose? You did. Remember when I was in Camrose? That's kind of where I started with it. I just drove back and forth from Calgary to Camrose a few times a week.
Were you living in Calgary?
No, I was living in Camrose.
Oh,
yeah.
Wild?
Yeah, and I work, and the job was just to drive the truck.
Oh, you had that truck. Yeah, and it had a billboard on it.
You were like, it was like almost like doing parts or something, like just shuttling stuff back and forth?
Yeah, like eBay, stuff like that eventually. Yeah, like he got larger contracts and moved away from like the original things like Greyhound and stuff like that. We parted ways. I moved back into Edmonton, did a bunch of experiential marketing for a while, right? Left all of that and... just started some other stuff, right? Like I took a year off, kind of went snowboarding around, which was probably in hindsight a bad idea to take a year off and go snowboarding. right? But
why is that?
It's not well on the pocketbook. Like, it's fun, but like I used points. A wise guy once told me,
use your credit card.
He's like, just points, Lee. Use points. So when I did all that touring and stuff like that with the marketing company, I'd always book it through my points.
Yeah.
Right. And I would just accrue a bunch of points. So I would just like take a hotel to a hill, right? And I would just use the points for the hotel.
Yeah.
And that's pretty simple because you can get a bus fare pretty cheap and just go up to the hill, or you just drive there if you have a car, kind of thing, right? Yeah. I remember one time going to Revelstoke on Christmas. It was so cool. Like, I just went by myself. You know, and I spent Revelstoke in on Christmas, just snowboarding.
Like Christmas Day?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like that still had, that was super fun for me, right? Like that was, and then 2017, I just started meeting more people because I started getting into acting a little bit heavier. Looked for an agent for a few years, found an agent, but at the same time, like rejected multiple times. Kind of thing, right? But that's because like you didn't know what's going on. You're just reaching out once and you're not hearing anything back. It's like they might not have even gotten it. It doesn't matter. But when you're younger, you're kind of like debilitated. Like, how do I find more acting jobs? I get that asked a lot, actually. And it's like, well, I'm not going to find anything if I don't go and do something, right? There has to be an industry. There has to be the pulse. The industry for acting in Edmonton, what would you say it is? Steve, you would be at the pinnacle. You've seen it.
There's a decent amount of movies that get filmed here, is there not?
Yeah, but they don't cast from here.
Well, no. It's no, funny too. Like, it's the same reason why I even got into like video production, anyways. Because I used to do film out in Toronto, and I just didn't like begging to be into other people's projects.
Yeah,
that's all you're doing. You're just begging to be in someone else's project. When I just said, "Fuck it, I'll just make my own project."
You're saying small fish, big pond situation in Toronto?
Which one?
You. Small fish, big pond. You're like, please, can I please shoot this?
Well, that's just what it is. It's just like, yeah, you're just you're like someone else is making a project and you're asking to be part of it.
Yeah.
As opposed to like you making a project. Like, so that's, I wanted to have control over my own stuff.
Yeah.
Like that was the difference. Like once I started learning how to shoot in films, I can make my own movie. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I haven't had the aspirations to do one yet, but yeah. I can make my own movie. I'm just like, yeah, I can do whatever I want. Like if I want to act in front of my own movie, I can do that. You know, like I just haven't had the aspiration to do it yet, but
yeah.
You know, but it was possible. I was in a lot of films out there. It was kind of cool, but I was like, I didn't like the hurry up and wait aspect of it. It's like
that's the film of it, right?
Yeah, it was too much. It's too much standing around, man. I was when I stand around, I fall asleep.
Standing around in like even when I did that modeling thing, it was like I was there at 8 a.m. and I didn't get on the runway till like 3 p.m. or something, and it was just like a lot of hurry up and wait situation with that. That's really my one and only experience of actually doing that. But that's a small, it was a decently sized production, but it wasn't, nowhere near the level of like a video production where, you know, you got to be up at 4 a.m. to go get makeup on for 6 hours. And then
I was doing it full time for a long time. Like I was basically every day I was out on a film set, 15-hour days, and you'd show up first thing in the morning, you sign in. And then you go and you hang out, you go to the lunch table and you make yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you know, because that's all they really put out there for you is peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And then you meet up with your friends that you work with on a regular basis. You guys sit down and you start playing cards and you fucking hang out and play cards.
Okay, we'll call you when you need you.
Yeah, just they play cards and then the guys come in and goes, okay, we need 4 girls, you know, this and that. And then a lot of times, like when you're doing it for so long, you just kind of try to hide in the background. Like you don't even want to be on set.
Because you're just like so out of the mood now?
Because you're just playing cards, but when you're on set, now you're hurrying up and waiting on set.
Oh, so you can't, yeah.
so now you're just like.
Now you're just sitting there and you're like talking to someone you don't know, and then you have to pretend, and then they'll go, okay, background action. And then you have to like pretend you're doing some stuff and having a conversation. And then the actors do their thing and they go, okay, cut. And then you just hurry up, wait, they reset everything.
That's at like a lower level actor position though. What about being like a lead role?
Here's the thing is it's not about being a lower level acting position. It's about the position that's currently given to you at that moment. Right. Like the whole thing is like, they've already got the scene established and this is what they need, right? So they're going to go to these cities here that have a corral of people when they need it.
Yeah.
They're just going to go, you're getting paid today. You're getting paid. Everyone's getting paid. But they basically just kind of make you wait for it. Like, you sit there and you wait around.
Well, what about, like...
But even the actors, like, even, like, if you look at it, most of the actors, they just don't wait on set. The difference is they're waiting in a trailer.
Yeah.
And then they'll, because they don't want to be there for when they're doing the setup. So what they'll do is they'll send a stand-in. So they'll have someone who's being paid to actually wait on set and stand on the mark, so that way they can set up lights and set up cameras.
Oh,
and,
serious?
So they have
you
stand-in.
You don't have Denzel Washington standing there for
no. He wouldn't stand
hours.
There. He would go back to his trailer.
And just pay some dude to
just
set it
he
all
just,
up.
He's there. Like, there's millions of jobs in film and TV. Millions of jobs, right?
The grip, man.
That's the thing. It's like
the boom.
They're gonna be like that for a very long time. I saw this really hilarious meme. It's the People's Republic of Disney. Have you ever read it?
No.
Some people aren't going to like me. You should read that. Russell, can you pull that up and put that up there?
No, I can't. would...
We're trying to figure out how to do that. But yeah.
Basically, it starts off with like the description of Disney and how they've been buying all the movie franchises, right? And then it takes a turn. And it just says, like, Disney creates a military, takes over the galaxy kind of shit. And then in the year 3030, Marvel and Disney fans still excited for new movies. Right? It gets to a point where it's just like, it doesn't matter. They're just going to make movies because it just makes them money. It makes them
well, because they have content.
Happy.
Like, it's, they have basically what they have is they have content, which now they can attach advertising dollars to.
Yeah.
And the more content that they have, the more advertising dollars they can attach to it.
Ad revenue.
And that's what it is. So, like, once they figured out the distribution method, they say, hey, we can distribute to, you know, 10 million people in one day or in a week with this one movie. How much money do you want to put into that? They have like now the analytics to do it. It's all about the numbers game, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I had that one meeting, which was pretty wild.
Yeah.
I met this random girl while I was eating Vietnamese soup in a Vietnamese restaurant. This girl pulls me aside and I was like kind of weirded out. Older lady, probably in her 50s, I'd say. Right. And that's why I went to talk to her. Cause if it was just some like girl my age or younger, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. Like, what are you doing? But she was like, you come here. Right? And I was like, all right, how's it going? And I thought she recognized me as somebody else. Sometimes I get confused for like a basketball player or something like that. So I was like, okay, I'll go entertain this and see what happens, right? Anyways, I was dressed really nice. So she was like, do you play hockey or something like that? That's what happens every now and then. Like, very rare. So I was like, okay, I'll go talk to this lady. And she was like, and then she talks about movies and stuff like that, right? I'm just adding to Steve's point here. And we're talking about movies. And she was like, you'd be good. And I was like, oh, here we go. Right? But like, and I was just like on some shit, right? I'm like, this doesn't happen. Like, okay, I got picked out and he's going to be in the next superhero or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, or the next superstar or something. But then I entertained it. She was like, hey, she was like, she kept it like super vague, right? But there was the two people who created the Spider-Man franchises.
Yeah.
Right? And she dropped names. I forget the guys' names, to be honest. They were brothers. And then Tobey Maguire and... some like Bruce Willis's agent or something. Like, she was just dropping all these big names. And I was like, oh, she's just one of these girls dropping names and trying to do, I don't know what she was trying to do. Right. Anyways, I entertained it and I met her at a meeting and it was supposed to be like some meet and greet. I thought it was a meet and greet. Right. And I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, but I said yes anyway. But anyways, the guys were there who she said were there, the people who invented Spider-Man and like Bruce Willis's agent and Tobey Maguire's guy. And there's all these like big name guys sitting in this room.
Holy crap.
Right? Yeah. And I was like, whoa, this is a serious thing, right? But I was late because she said, oh, it goes from 2 till 4 and it's kind of just show up, right?
Yeah.
So I roll in 45 minutes late, just thinking it's kind of like a, you know, have a coffee or a beer, shake some hands and see what's going on. But no, what it was a legit investor meeting to invest into...
That went from 2 to 4.
Yeah.
Went from 2 to 4 and you show up thinking that you're only in and out.
Yeah, and I showed up like not dressed in a suit or anything. And I'm sitting there and I'm the youngest guy by probably 20 years.
Yeah.
Right? And there's all these like dudes sitting there, suits and ties and everything. And they're sitting at this big table. I roll in. I think they probably all thought either I was a giant jackass or I was just like the richest dude there. It's like, oh yeah, this mother trucker, like, you know,
showed up in a t-shirt.
Showed up in a t-shirt.
He doesn't give a fuck. Mayweather says, you know, the bosses don't wear suits.
Yeah. Maybe I think everyone kind of looked at me. They had that. I could see them looking and they're like, who's this young guy with all the money? Or like, who's this guy who showed up 45 minutes
late? You probably showed up at the moment where it's like somebody was giving a speech and they were talking about the person that they're like, we're investing in. And then all of a sudden you walk through the door and they're just like, is it him?
Yeah, it was such a weird vibe, right? But anyways, what I'm saying is they were asking for a minimum $1 million investment, and they gave like all of these movies that were coming out.
Yeah.
And it was like it was a real serious like, and they were going from city to city, and they were showing all the numbers and all the data on how much each movie from the previous that they've done have made. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting, and I learned a lot from it. Okay. I was like, this is really freaking cool how they do it, right?
That's interesting.
Yeah, and you get paid. I can't totally remember, but it's like a 4-year dividend that you get paid back. It was pretty much like a stock.
It's like buying stocks. That's what it is. Like one of the guys that's out here in Edmonton. He's invested in a couple movies. He invested in that car movie that's on Netflix, and he invested also in this new movie called Cinco de Mayo that just came out. Like that was done by Sony Pictures, and I'm just like, shit.
Yeah, they're like stocks. They say that the horror movies do the best. They're the lowest production because you don't need a lot of money to make a good horror movie, right? And they have like little weird cult followings.
They have a good return.
Yeah, they had the horror movies have the highest return out of all of them, right?
I don't know if that's true, but that's funny.
That's what I was told by them.
In terms of independent films, it would probably be in a sense of like buying penny stocks.
Okay.
Where it's like a cheap film to make, like you can probably make a good horror film for like $100,000.
Yeah,
and you can probably make $1 million from it.
It was like they were creating like a basket, like in stocks or stuff like that. You make a basket, like think of it as a portfolio,
like a mutual fund.
It's just like you have like 10 different movies you invest in, and one does gets you a negative return. This one does that. This one is an outlier, and it gives
Blair
you
Blair Witch.
Like, what? Blair Witch, yeah, exactly. There you go. That's one of the examples they use.
Give you an example.
Cloverfield.
Give you an example of an independent film that did really well. Not only did really
Ginger
well.
Ginger Snaps.
Rocky.
Oh, Rocky.
Rocky was done for $100,000.
Yeah.
Right? And the only reason, not only that, but it won a whole shitload of awards because they're like, how are we going to shoot this film for $100,000?
Yeah.
So they had the guy.
It was like guerrilla stuff. They didn't have no licenses. They just showed up.
The guy had to invent the Steadicam. He invented the Steadicam rig.
So he can
So they could fucking jump out of a van,
yeah,
and shoot the shit, and then jump back in the van and fuck off because they didn't have any permits to do anything. And
see, so that would be a good film to make is like the camera guy, right? Just follow the camera guy in these films, like him getting up, just like, yeah, we're putting this on today. Rocky's gonna be there. Yeah, Sylvester Stallone's gonna be over there, and then you're following him reality style in behind the van. And you just see him jump out and follow Rocky.
I think
he's just running up the stairs.
I think that's a great idea, but now I think it's a little bit more like it's a little more structured when they make like bigger budget videos. But that'd be sick. Follow a video of making a video.
Well, yeah.
In
order to kind of differentiate yourself from like all of the other, it has to have a shitload of CGI or a shitload of explosions.
Tom Cruise, the Halo drop that they did. Now, I got this information from my roommate who, he's the director in the film.
A halo drop, that's where you jump from space into the ocean?
It's like the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Like, or the stratosphere or whatever it is. Just really, really fucking high.
Yeah.
And they actually rehearsed it like, I don't know, 40 times because they had to have a camera guy actually follow them every single time.
So they jumped out of the plane that many times? How much does that cost?
They did it, I don't know, like over the span of a year or something like that. That's what I heard. I don't know how long it took to do it, but they just did. That's what they did to get the shots.
Is this a Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
Is he wearing a helmet or something?
Yeah, I have no idea what the camera. I think it was one of the bigger.
No, I'm
ones.
Like wondering, like the guy's jumping out. I think they got to be having a helmet.
You'd
on.
Have to have a mask and oxygen. And
oh
stuff.
Yeah. He would jump safely too, right? They took a lot. Like every single, it's a Tom Cruise movie. He's gonna make sure everyone's getting. But this camera guy is gonna be freaking fantastic, right?
Oh, well, have you ever seen that one camera guy who's like a ninja? And he jumps through the car to get the shots.
Oh no!
There's
no.
If you ever get a chance on the YouTube, look up the ninja cameraman, and he's literally like he did this one shot in super slow motion.
Yeah.
Where it's like the car hits like someone and there's like an accident, but what he does is he follows the bike rider as it's before it gets hit, and then he jumps through the window of the driver's side and the passenger side. And comes out the other side and captures the whole shot. So the shot literally is tracking the guy riding the bicycle in super slow motion, hitting the car, wiping out on the hood, and then falling on the other side. And he shot the whole thing seamlessly.
How did he not eat shit going through the window?
They shot him from behind the scene. He's a fucking ninja. He literally parkoured through the window while holding a camera.
And I was just like, this shit didn't just happen, did it?
How much do those guys get paid? What's like a cameraman on
set? It's YouTube that they're putting the revenue on, right?
Which one?
Is that one where you saw him, the ninja cameraman?
No. It was a legitimate cameraman. Like, it was a legitimate shot, but like the YouTube clip was of like showing like the actual commercial shot and then showing
how they got it.
And it was literally this guy jumped through a car. Yeah. Like literally like he jumped through and he held the camera and he pulled it through as he was literally jumped through the car and did like a somersault
stuff.
How many takes do you think that was?
I don't know. It looks pretty sick, but you're like, what? That guy just jumped through a car?
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff. You ever watch Alex Honnold, like the guy who does the free soloing?
No.
He's a guy, he climbs like legit like mountains and faces of a lot of things in, I think in...
He's like a rock climber
not
that
Utah.
Doesn't use any cables.
Yeah, he doesn't use any ropes. And yeah, he climbs like these things. Yeah, free climber. Yeah, that are 3,000 feet in the air and whatever the hell. Like, he legit does it in 4 hours. Takes people like 3 days to do shit.
More Tom Cruise.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he did.
His hands are like these big, huge, freaking
little sausages.
Yeah. Sausages and stuff like that. Like super
clamp. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he does like pull-ups with like his fingertips. Like, literally, yeah. I forget that's a style of
muscles,
climbing.
Like, he flexes this muscle.
Yeah, it's crazy. But anyways, I watched a little thing on... he did this one free solo up a thing called Half Dome, I believe it was called.
Okay.
And it was actually the photographer. They were filming the filmer because they were saying filming that was insane. Filming that was one of the craziest things that they've ever done. Because there was like, it was really interesting to watch. One was because that's a very hard climb. But now to do it with like 100 pounds of gear on your back. Because they have all their ropes. These guys are roped in and everything. And they got, you know, like 100 meters of rope on their back and all their carabiners, like all fucking 900 of them. And like they've got these big rigs and all these different lenses and everything to try and get this guy shot.
Yeah.
As well is now this guy has zero ropes and zero anything. And now he's on camera. So like, you know, when you're on camera, you get like a little bit of a stage fright.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were just like trying to stay like flies on the walls. As well as trying to get in super close to him to get all these crazy shots, right? So it was really interesting. It was interesting to watch. And they weren't allowed to be at one certain section. It was like the crux of the thing where it was like super, super dangerous. So Alex allowed them to film him, but just not like this 100-meter section or something like that.
Yeah, because he needed the space.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He didn't want to have anything. You know when you like people, they like sing in the shower? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the second someone's listening, they're just like, they suck and they don't want
to. Or not only that, you have to just be super, super aware, and then someone says something, or you can hear someone
even breathing or sneezing.
Bickering in the background. Oh, look at, he's going to grab that shit. Like, shut up! No!
Pretty much, exactly.
You're distracting me!
Yeah, you're distracting me!
Fuck you!
That's so terrible. But yeah,
that's so bad. We're gonna that's coming on Judgment Day.
Yeah, no. But yeah, speaking of what you're saying, the cameramen do some crazy shit. Like
they do.
The making a video of making a movie would actually be a pretty legit thing, I think.
It's all B-roll nowadays. I mean, like, I guess if anyone has a camera, like we all have a camera in our house, kind of thing. Everyone has like some type of a camera other than a phone.
Yeah.
And we just film a bunch of stuff all the time, right? Like the content just got more and more and more. So we have like 2017, 2018. And it's probably like at this point, I'm looking to probably just be like, I need to figure out a template and just.
Oh, you're talking about yourself?
Yeah.
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 Okay, yeah. So where are you at right now? So you've done, tell the people like the type of commercials you've been on or what's going on with that. Then we can kind of.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like Epcor was a big one. Well, big one. I mean, it's a commercial, right? It's just commercial work, and I mean, you'll have big brands. Like I've worked with big brands and other things too, right? It's just, it's all the same thing. Everyone's worked with big brands. It's just a different job. It's just a different career path. And I'll probably do a lot more commercials because that's what Edmonton kind of is for me. Other than theater, and theater here, I feel is like, if you want to be the person, you're going to be like, I'm going to be the actor in Edmonton. They're going to find that actor in the theater.
Mm.
That's my opinion.
Is that something that you wanted to pursue, theater acting?
I started with theater. Like theater was fun for me, right? And I enjoy it and I love it. I enjoy making films though, right? You guys are talking about horror films, and that's why I'm laughing, because like the film that we were talking about is
Before the Episode.
It's a horror film.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Before the Episode. It was a horror film. It was a bad film, right? But it was good because they laughed. It got a cult following.
What's the name of it?
Bagman.
Yeah. So you're in a film called Bagman right now.
Yeah, yeah. So or you this will is the be. Second rendition.
Second rendition of yeah, Bagman.
And they're like, they revamped everything. They just, because the first one, these guys, you guys are talking about, like, I can't remember what it was, like a certain way of having passion just for making your own stuff.
Yeah.
Right? That's the same kid with the same thing with these guys. They just had a passion. They're like, well, I just want to make a movie. So he wrote something down to make a movie, right? And he spent his own money to make this movie. And he riled and gathered and got people together, and he just made a movie, right?
Did that Army movie ever come out?
Yeah, it was in Walmart.
It was in Walmart?
Yeah, 1,000-yard stare.
Yeah.
I was like, cut out of most of it, of yeah. all of it, yeah.
Lee Savage, where do you get your work from? Like, how do actors get work? Like, how does that work?
Because we were in that originally.
Yeah, that's what I want to go back to that, because I'm sure there's people who are like, oh, where the heck does an aspiring actor get work from?
There's several ways. I mean, everyone has to say they have to get an agent. That's true, because an agent will connect you with the world that you wouldn't have otherwise.
Right? And why is that? They just know people from different...
It's knowing people. It's knowing the industry very well, right? Like, would you sell your home by yourself?
Some people do, yeah.
They learn, though.
Yeah.
Right? And you can learn anywhere. Anywhere. Yeah. You just got to read a little bit more. You got to figure it out. If you're really interested in learning about acting, you can go and learn anywhere. So I went and I learned in Calgary for a little bit. And then I took a couple other acting workshops. And we were back and forth from Edmonton and Calgary. The actual school I went to was Company of Rogues Actor Studio. I only took like a master class there. It was a course over a couple of years kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the constant driving back and forth was specifically just to get the teaching. And that was of, like, they teach methods of people that are like Sanford Meisner, right? And they teach Uta Hagen. They teach...
I don't know what those are.
These are people who are actors. But, like, they come from... I can't remember what it was. It's a playhouse or something. Like, I'm butchering the shit out of all this.
Yeah, right? this is okay. That's fine. Yeah. You're going through it.
Yeah, they have a playhouse of some type where they learn from a guy named Konstantin Stanislavski. Konstantin Stanislavski is like hailed as the father of modern acting, right? Coming over and just teaching people. And then like methods broke up from them and they all became something different. The way to get into a character, the way to do the work with the scripts, the way to actually create this realism about all of this, right? But at the same time be able to change it constantly. So there was a method that you would do with Meisner, and it was a lot of repetition work. Right, where you would just be talking to people across, and you'd just be like constantly back and forthing all the time. It was a lot of repetition work, right?
Yeah.
So you would learn just how to connect with the partner across from you a little bit better. Mm. So eventually, you're just saying the same thing, but you've been saying something different the entire time, right?
With the same lines.
Yeah.
Just learning how to communicate just non-verbally.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah, that's a method. That's a technique. Right, and they would teach other ones like the person named Uta Hagen, right?
The Uta Hagen, is this the Uta Hagen technique now?
I mean, there's a bunch of them. They just branch.
Okay,
right? it's become a lot of things, right? And it's also come from other places too. So everybody has to learn how to do it themselves as well.
So this is that's the actual physical side of acting. Do they teach you the business side now at all? Well, do they go into that? Because that's the other side of the coin, because you could be the best actor in the world, but if you don't know how to maneuver through that industry, then you're not really going to.
Yeah, but you have to maneuver through the industry where it is. There's no industry here, right? If I wanted to maneuver through that industry, I'd go to Vancouver. I'd go to Toronto because I can then maneuver through the industry.
Yeah.
Right. There's no industry here.
Do you have any? Do you have any plans of doing that? Is that in your no?
No. I've always said I'm going to probably just stick it out in Edmonton because I believe Edmonton is growing and it has this. Movies do get filmed here.
So you want to be that guy in Edmonton?
Yeah, that's pretty much that's what I've been doing for a while. And it's just, that's the thing, is it's just like a commercial will come through here. And the fact that I'm just that guy in Edmonton, again, I have history, right? So that's
like a resume or it's kind of a resume essentially, isn't it?
Where you just end up being with the right guys at the right time, right? Yep. The top guys. And it's the same thing as like that one girl out of here, Skylar, she ended up bouncing.
Yeah, she's in Vancouver. She's doing well.
She was in 100, man. I'm watching 100 and I'm just like, what the hell? And Supernatural. She got into both those films and she was based out of here.
Yeah, so. But if you do want to like blow up, do you want to, what's your vision with it? Is your vision
you have to create your own craft. For me, I'm absolutely fine creating whatever I can here, right? That's why I'm doing indie films, because if you don't have an industry here, you have to find a way to cultivate it yourself. So you find people who do want to make good films.
So you're like a trailblazer of some sort, if I could say that?
I wouldn't call it that. I would just say that I like making movies, and I do like acting, like, very, very much. That's why.
Do you know what I think? And the way I've always seen it, because I've always kind of watched another thing. If you, most of the successful actors, like the really successful actors, always team up with a director. And yeah, they usually work it together. So what happens is one director likes working with this actor, and the two of them create one shoots, one film.
See, and that's what I was saying. 2017, I met some really cool fucking people, and all of a sudden now I have this, there's this literal crew of people around me who've been wanting to make this film, and all of a sudden I'm like, at the same time living with the director too, right?
Yeah.
There's we got other people who help us as well. So
this is Bagman?
Yeah, Bagman Rising. Yeah.
This, oh, he's rising now.
Yeah, like I'll show you. You're gonna.
Yeah, it's interesting because I it's the same concept with business. I like it took me a while to figure that out too. You spend so much time trying to trying to get in with the upper echelons of guys. With like these businessmen who, but you can't get in because these guys have been working with the same guys for the past 20, 30 years. You know, like once they got their guy, they don't deviate from their guy. They don't just let him go. So like realistically is what you need to do is you need to find your guy in your age range. So that way you all grow together for the next 20 years because like, that's my guy. And you start putting your team together. So, like, realistically, like, if you're looking for a lawyer, you could go and pay lots of money for a top-notch lawyer, or you could find a lawyer that's the same age as you and put him on your team, right?
Yeah, if you stick together, yeah.
If you stick
together. I see validity in both, in doing both.
In both and stuff like that, and, like, trying to... But it's just, it's a lot harder to get into the next generation without having them use you kind of thing instead of, like...
Maybe that's a paradigm, but I do see factual... evidence of that as well. Mm-hmm. It makes sense because, like, let's say you and me stick together for the next 20 years, like,
we'll be successful. Like, if I'm successful, you'll be successful. And if we get four or five or six of us together, you know, and all, like,
it's called atmosphere.
That's the same thing. That's the same thing as frat houses, how they work, right? They create a brotherhood or they create a sisterhood, and you know, one of them gets really successful, they pull the rest of them up.
I really wish when I was like 15 or 16, we did that, and like. I was like, hey, you're the lawyer, you're this, you're going to be that, I'll be this, you be that, and then we all just rise up together on, you're the cop, you're the politician, you get us this, and you know, you're going to be the business guy, you're going to do this, what do you got? Man, if I could do it all over again, that's one thing I would have done.
You need one mastermind guy who's like the older guy who can quarterback a whole team, a whole football team of people, and be like, all right, guys, okay, we're gonna run this city. You know, like that's why the mafia does so well.
Yeah, they all have everyone everywhere.
They basically, what happens is they got the old boss man who basically takes all of the younger kids and puts them in a job. And he says, okay, you're going to run sanitation, you're going to run electronics, you're going to run this, you're going to run that. And they don't have a choice in it. They just do it. And they end up in those places and go, okay, you're my guy when I need some guy to get offed. You're my guy.
Never been in the mafia. I don't know exactly how it works.
Well, according to the movies, anyways.
Oh, jeez. Lee Savage, what are you going to show us? Bagman Rising, the trailer?
It's a teaser trailer. So they decided to put something together a while back before they actually started filming. It was just a bit of a teaser trailer. So it's about 5 minutes long.
5 minutes? We can't watch 5 minutes on this. Oh, is this the one with when you're playing the devil?
No. That's The Damned.
That's The Damned?
Yeah, that was a comic book rendition by...
And then where was this? Oh, geez, I know these guys too. That's so funny. It's so funny when
you're the bag man?
No.
Oh, he's a bag man. He wears a bag on his head.
He's
Is he kind of like Scarecrow from Batman?
We're gonna have to put the link down on the bottom there. So people can watch.
We'll send the link. I'll put the link in the video notes in the description on.
Yeah, iTunes, just link it to the page. We constantly upload to it as we go, as we're making it.
Yeah,
they just recently beat up an old piano, and they.
Is it just like action fights?
A lot of it was action, but there's a real stupid story to it too.
Yeah,
but it's very immature slapstick comedy, right? But this guy, he just decided to write, and he's got this actual creation that if you bring good enough actors together. The writing is not bad. It's not going to win awards, but it's not bad. Maybe it will win awards. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
But like,
it's like one of those ones where it's like, it's so bad, it's good.
There's people corralling. That's what we're saying. Yeah. There's people corralling to it. They're just like, I'll wait.
Like Sharknado kind of thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know.
What the fuck was Sharknado? Yeah, exactly.
It was a tornado of sharks.
I know.
I made
so
it up
bad.
To Sharknado 7 or some shit, man.
So it's about... Tara Wilson. It's a serial killer who kills people who don't recycle, right? That's what it's about. But he's a just killer. Think of him as like the Deadpool.
Just like, right? Saw a little
anti-hero.
Bit?
Anti-hero. What's that? No, not at all. But he's just like an anti-hero, right? He breaks the fourth wall all the time kind of thing. Like, he talks to the audience and stuff like that. But you put him in a realistic world where there is now a cult based after him because some guy went crazy and is trying to, like, take the title of Bagman, right? It's like the world has gone insane. And you literally, if you don't recycle, your fear of being dead is heightened. Every single day. You just walk outside and you're just like...
Bagman might get you.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't matter because it's a cult. There's thousands of them.
Oh, there's thousands, right? Of Bagman.
Like, it doesn't matter.
It's the Bagman, like, cult.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Bagman's like an idea.
But you gotta recycle. Yeah, you gotta recycle, right? Like, yeah.
Well, Bagman will get you.
Yeah.
You don't know who or what it is.
You'll just
die.
It's gonna be one of those things you're gonna tell your kids when you grow up.
People are gonna think like that, right? But it's like, now there's also police officers involved, so it's not necessarily supernatural. You're actually dealing with a freaking cult, and you're just like... Just make sure you recycle today, Brenda. Okay, listen to Karen this time.
So, what's your role in this? So, what do you play in Bagman Rising?
I play a detective.
Rising? You're a detective. So, yes. You're a police officer.
I am a detective.
You have a wife and kids?
I have a wife.
You have no kids, though. But you have a wife.
No time for kids.
You're out fighting the law.
Too busy fighting crime.
Or fighting crime, yeah.
Fighting the law.
I don't know what side you're on. Yeah, exactly.
You're a
good cop or dirty cop?
Dirty cop.
Oh, so you are fighting the law.
Bingo.
Yeah, I told you.
Yeah. So that's the thing, but it's like, it's not an unknown thing. Like, I don't have a great past. It's a dark history, right? But I am like a redemption in my mind, where I am actually coming to a terms where it's just like, I'm doing the right thing. I'm coming to that, you know, precipice of that choice. You're like, just like, do I do the right thing or what do I do here? So I'm also like trying to be a detective, and I partner up with the Bagman, and we have amazing adventures, and it's like Bill and Ted's, but it's not.
How much fun are you having doing this?
I'm having a blast.
You just wake up every day when you do it, and you're just like, sweet, I get to do this today?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we do it right now. It's gonna take a while to film, right? Because it's a scheduling nightmare. But you're just getting people who are wanting to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Right. So
the big thing is trying to get funding. Like, I've seen
they had funding.
There's a guy.
They had funding, but you want to know something? I have not made a political joke this entire time, have I? And I don't comment on them either because I don't vote. But
well, that's probably better than me voting, though.
Yeah, you screwed up our crosswalks.
I fucked up the crosswalks.
I fucked up the crosswalks.
Anyways, yeah, keep going.
Basically, I forgot where I was going.
You're talking about funding and political statements.
They got turned away for funding. There was supposed to be 7.5, like something stupid like that, that was supposed to go to the arts, and they got maybe $100,000 of it, and they were just waiting to get signatures. But then government changed.
Hmm. Yeah. See, that was my fault.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that was my fault.
My
government cuts.
And everyone's now watching
your government. Oh, your government.
That's
his fault. His government fucked it up.
Well, either way, everyone's watching. Like, you've learned your lesson. Now vote, Lee. And I'm gonna be like, yeah, because maybe I can say it's my government that fucked it up.
Yeah.
Our
government fucked up the crosswalks. His government
fucked up
the
Bagman Rising.
Yeah. How dare you? This guy's just on me everywhere. He's like, I'm taking your life. Yeah, I'm gonna vote today.
That's so
talking about that ripple effect earlier.
Yeah, I know. How funny is that? It's crazy how it goes like that. I was just sitting down with some teachers today, actually, and they're all mad. They're like, our curriculum got ripped up, and they're reviewing everything. And I'm just like, oh geez, sorry, ladies.
Yeah,
they're gonna have to relearn everything because they won't know the curriculum.
It's kind of ridiculous. They were actually talking about, not to get on a side tangent, but a little bit. They say every time a new government comes in, they scrap every ounce of like all the work that they pretty much did during those 4 years gets scrapped, and they start from zero every time. They don't build on each other's stuff in the slightest. It's just like, yeah, that's done. We're going to start from zero again.
Yeah, it's stupid. You don't get anywhere that
way. Yeah, I think they do it on purpose, to be honest, because then it gives people jobs. Like, it literally is just a
work
project.
You also just keep doing something new, and the people who are going to, like, they move on. Other people don't. There's thousands of people involved in this, right? They're literally getting something ripped from them, but they stay because they've been doing this for so long, and they love it, and so they now try to do it themselves.
What do you mean?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I was thinking about too, like today I had a thought in my head about the whole thing. I was just like, if our budget's fucked up where we're like over by 25%, why don't you just cut everything in the budget by 25%? Like, don't be fucking biased. Cut everything by 25%. They'll figure it out. You know, like if the medical 25% of your budget's cutting out, figure it out. You know, like everyone figure it out. You know?
That would be a shitty time. There would be a lot of depressed people.
You think so?
Oh, hell yeah.
No, man. People would like... I don't think it was 25% over. I think it's like... It's got to be like 10 or something like that.
Yeah.
If you lost 10%, you'd figure it out. Like, you wouldn't notice.
Okay, so I talked to a guy who played poker really well once because I suck at playing poker. But I love it. It's great. And he's like, the first thing you have to learn is call a loss a loss. Right? Mm, yeah. You cut 25% out, you're still, it's a loss. Right? People get depressed over loss.
But you adjust.
Yeah, 100%.
Like so you don't even notice it's missing.
That's easier, why it's called a depression.
Easier, that's easier said than done if you're talking about like hospitals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, we don't have, like, Barbara's now working 16-hour shifts 9 days in a row now because we're at 25% loss. We can't hire enough people. People notice a 25%.
We got to operate. Yeah. She can operate. So let's just keep her going. That
would figure it out, Barbara, for the next 5 years. You got
it. Well, they would figure it out. Like, for instance, like, even the medical industry, like, they have so many people
What human is figuring it out. That's exactly how you human.
Yeah.
Like, how to life.
Yeah.
That's what you're watching with me.
Figure it out. You know, like. You'll figure it out. Like, your budget's 25% less. Figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't even sure what you do. They probably wouldn't spend so much money on, like, part-timers, like, with that work overtime all the time and make a lot of money doing that.
Change atmosphere, yeah.
How about we take the LRT, scrap that idea, and then just invest all that money into something useful?
That is funny. That is the one that is the big elephant in the room, isn't it? It's like, oh, yeah, Edmonton's been growing, and there's an LRT in the middle of it. For like a really long time.
You know what scares me? Is that thing's going down the middle of 104th Ave for the rest of our lives, boys.
Yep.
And it's going to be
104th
Ave, yeah. And it's only going to be one lane of cars on each side.
Yep.
And then I think they're starting right now. Like 104th Ave is under construction.
No, but they're going to stretch out the... They're going to get rid of those sidewalks.
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Property.
Those properties aren't going down?
Nope. Nope. And you need a certain amount of grass... Between a sidewalk and then a parking lot,
they
should have
just made it a fucking monorail.
Too much money, they didn't want to spend it.
Yeah,
monorail is more expensive, so they did it.
Okay, so
you voted for it.
Is the idea to make everyone so poor that everyone now has to take the fucking LRT, even though before everyone had enough money to drive around in trucks?
I think that's because oil's the devil, Stevie. We can't have any oil.
Everyone used to drive around in trucks, but now you're going to be so poor that you need an LRT to get around.
Yeah, and we all paid for it.
I'm saving the planet by riding this fucking you can sit here.
Yeah, it's funny, man. Like it's
no, man. It's you want to know something? My parents own a farm up north, and it's in the middle of nowhere. It's a lovely little spot. And they enjoy it, and you know, oil runs through that entire land, right? Like, farmers make money off of it. Everybody makes money off of it. The biggest agriculture and oil, like, come on now, that's just the life that is here, right? So that's always going to be here.
Yeah, but they're kind of denying it because no one's buying our oil right now. No one's investing in the
cyclical
province.
Cyclical. This happens.
Not to this capacity. This one's getting kind of ugly.
Cool. It's a pulse. It grows.
Hmm.
A pulse, it grows.
What do you mean?
Well, it gets uglier and uglier and uglier and uglier and uglier. It's a pulse.
Hmm.
Right? And it causes something to live.
I don't know if this is going to cause it to live. I'm not trying to be dark or anything. I'm just saying it's
some
like,
shit's got to die and others to live.
Yeah. Just kind of, it's crazy. Imagine being an oil field worker right now and like you're 33 years old and your entire experience
fuck
is working
33.
On a
imagine being 50 years old and you don't have a job anymore.
Yep.
I was like, who's going to hire you?
I'm saying at all ages, that sucks.
Yeah. Well, at least at 33, you can change careers. Yeah. 55, 60 years old, you can't change careers. What the fuck are you going to do now?
You can, but that's a very difficult...
That's a difficult shift. Like, what are you going to do? Like, when you've been... Let's say you've been working in oil rigs for past 30 years, and all of a sudden now you can't get a fucking job.
You have no life skills.
And not only that, but you had a lifestyle where you're making $200,000 a year, and now you're going to go back to making $30,000 a year or $40,000 a year, like as if you were fresh out of high school. You wouldn't even take that job because you're too proud.
Yeah.
You know, like you'd be like, fuck this shit. And then I was like, well, what other job are you going to do with your skill level
to make $200,000 a year. You can't. I'm just like, you're not a doctor, you're not a lawyer, not you're you work in the oil rigs. Like you work a job nobody wants to do. Yeah. You know,
and people learn to love it.
Yeah. Like, they love it. They love working with their hands.
It's like, I don't know what they
are. Are they going to do? Yeah. Like, you know, like they fall in love with it and they love the job. They like checking pipes out. They like looking at the thing.
They get so good at it. Like my father, he's a preventative tech, mm-hmm. right? Like he started off as a heavy duty mechanic on big stuff here in Edmonton. And then when they moved out there, he just worked on all the plants and stuff out there. Right now to a point where it's like, he literally, the hammer, one shot. This is why you charge, you know, I knew where to hit.
Yeah.
Right. So he's a preventative kind of like, he just checks.
Watches like a consultant of some sort?
Or he just watches the numbers and goes, but yeah, like those guys who just watch the numbers and go, oh shit, there's some pressure over here. Let's go check it out before.
There's something, yeah.
Before
yeah,
it yeah. fucking blows. And then you go over there and be like, yeah, this pipe, we need to change this valve really fast.
He put his 10,000 hours in, so he just like knows. Like just knows. You go to a place and just knows what's going on. Like inside and out type deal, hey?
Yeah, well, he's there to make sure nothing goes wrong. Mm-hmm. Right. And if it goes wrong, to fix it.
And he gets paid a salary to hang out.
Yeah. Yeah, but he has to know what he has to know the thing inside out.
He works freaking hard. Yeah.
Yeah, like, he probably works his bag off.
Imagine shutdowns.
Yeah, and shutdowns, you're stressed out because that's when they, you know, if you're shut down, they're losing money like thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. Yeah.
A minute. Yeah. A second.
So like if they can't bring it up fast, like his job's on the line because they say, you know what, we've been paying you all this time and we paid you for this fucking shutdown. And you couldn't pull it back up together, you're fired. We're going to bring someone else in.
Yeah.
Like, during those shutdowns is when those guys' jobs are on the line. They're like, holy fuck.
Probably a lot of pressure. Yeah, that's for sure.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
I might lose my job.
that's the thing, right? So, I mean, he works hard.
Yeah.
Right? And they've always kind of had my support when it came to acting and stuff like that. Like, I always tried out for stupid things. Dude, I don't know if you guys know this, and this is going to be the dumbest thing I ever admit on live anything. But you could probably find prior me on the internet somewhere auditioning for, oh, you can look. I can't tell you where to find it.
Is it under your Leslie Savage or?
I'm not even going to explain it because I'm going to say I was a contestant on So You Think You Can Dance Canada. And it was one of those bad ones that was aired.
Like, serious? Those
really bad failures where you're like, who the fuck is this guy?
Did you fail on purpose? No.
Hey, dude, that's not so bad. Like I got footage of me on Electric Circus.
Doing what?
Dude, Electric Circus is from 1994. Like, you were on that.
For I was real? On that. I was dancing on that in like 1998.
EC. You're talking about EC right
Electric
now.
Electric Circus. I was
that
on
Much Music?
Yeah.
No, that was a Canadian. That was a.
That was MTV or Much Music.
That would have been Much Music.
Much Music. I'm like, I went to Toronto to visit and I'm like, I'm going to get on Electric Circus.
I'm going to get on it.
Yeah.
What was that show again? That was just like people dancing and like.
Yeah, music videos. It was just a music video. Like, it was playing every Saturday before the nightclub night started. Mm-hmm. And so you'd have like just people dancing in the thing, and they'd play music videos in between, and they cut between the dancers and the music videos. It was actually a pretty cool show.
Yeah.
If you think about it, like, it's literally was just a music show where they showed music videos, but then they had like a little nightclub dance scene, and they had everybody kind of set up in these dance scenes. And what they would do is they would shift you around. So you would go in there, and like, because it was done live, mm-hmm. so they would move you from one location to the next. So, like, commercial breaks, you would, okay, switch, and everyone would go to a different podium. And then you would dance there for a couple minutes and stuff like that. And the cameras would come and film you here.
He hated the hurry up and wait. But if he could hurry up and dance.
He's there.
Yeah.
That was kind of one of my first experiences in the industry. That's what got me hooked.
Yeah.
Like Electric Circus got me hooked. And then I was also on that film. I'm not sure if it was The Idle Hand.
No way.
Yeah. The movie, really? The Idle Hand. I was with that guy, the chubby guy. He was also in Daredevil. Remember the guy from Daredevil?
No.
Froggy? I did see Foggy? Daredevil. Foggy? Foggy is his name?
I can't remember. Daredevil was a weird movie.
Yeah.
The blind superhero? The TV show.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I never watched the TV show.
It was funny. The Daredevil, Batman should have been Daredevil and Daredevil should have been Batman. You know, because bats actually use sonar.
You're right, actually. That's a thing. You read that on the internet somewhere, yes, didn't you? Yeah. But it's kind of true when you think about it.
True. Let me start. Fact.
Yeah, it's a fact.
That's a fact. Yeah, it's a fax machine.
Yeah, like,
yeah, they should have switched it. Yeah, right.
Batman had all these gadgets and would always
He's
all
like
these
Daredevil,
weird,
yeah.
the Daredevil things, and Daredevil was blind and now you
saw. Oh, man. Jeez. Yeah, but the Batman thing came from him getting swarmed by the bats when he was in that cave, and yeah.
Well, yeah.
He had the affinity towards the bats. But yeah, anyways.
But yeah, so I was in that film, and that was the first film that I was in. It was a football movie. And I went all the way, when I was in Toronto, I took the GO train all the way to Mississauga to be in this film. So I was there, and that was when I was just like, this is so cool. But I was so interested in what the camera was seeing.
Yeah.
And less interested in, like, because I would freeze up. As soon as you get in front of the camera, you'd be like, oh, I don't know. What is it looking at?
Yeah.
What's this eyeball staring at me?
Well, you were on EC? You just froze up dancing?
Well, no. That one, I look funny, though. Like, I can't dance.
I'm digging that up.
But not only that, but I also made my own shirt. Like, I got my aunt to make me a silver shirt.
Oh, wow.
So I have my own costume made up for this thing, and I had this spiky hair. Yeah, it was pretty wild.
That's yeah, because fun. Everyone there was like wearing like rave shit. Wasn't
yeah,
it
was dressed up like rave. I had like these yellow glasses on. I had the thing, and I had this spiky hair.
I have to find that.
Yeah,
buddy,
I probably have it somewhere.
We're just gonna like post it everywhere.
Yeah, post it. Like I remember when my brother saw it, he used to just rewind it and play it over and over and just laugh.
It's the worst when you have family, man.
Here's what we're doing.
My family recorded it, and like that's the only place you'll find it, just through my family. Like they have the recording of me just being. And like my cousin froze one moment. That's probably something you'll be able to find easily. He just froze one moment where I'm just like looking over my shoulder and I look so retarded. Like it's bad.
Yeah. I'm doing this, guys. You're both gonna hate me. I'm making what is it called? A poll.
Yeah.
It's gonna be which clip is worse, Billy Savage or Steve Van Deest? Vote
yes.
now.
So yes. We gotta do the two dancing ones.
Yeah. It'll be dancing.
So you think you can dance or Electric Circus?
Or Electric Circus? That's what I'm gonna do to both of you. I don't have one. So, like,
did you ever read that the one meme where it's the guy's like, I forced a bot to watch over 1,000 hours of Batman and then write a script?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I didn't read it though, but yeah, I saw that.
Fuck, is it ever hilarious?
Is it good?
Because I'm only gonna read it because I feel like my group of guys and stuff like that. We talked about this, me and another guy. We're like, we should just make that. Like, it's a short part of the entire thing, but we should just literally make that a reality. Like, we could get easy Batman costumes and whatever other costumes.
It was like an AI thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they made like an AI watch Batman like 10,000 times, or what was the answer?
Yeah,
what
yeah. Let me
and
read
how long
to
was
you.
The script?
It was just a short script.
Yeah, it was like a little paragraph.
Do you remember that? Do you remember that Joe Rogan?
The Rojogan?
Yeah, where it was just like, where it's like the computer would just like say things and you're just like, what? That's not Joe Rogan? And like, no, that's a computer.
That's
like,
yeah, Adobe does that.
That was like wild. They just basically took his voice and just basically just read this.
Yeah, I watched an Adobe presentation keynote on that.
Oh, when they change people's voices, or they can like they can add
a word,
like that's gonna change the point where history, like now recordings don't mean anything in a court of law anymore because you can manipulate anything.
All right, crazy.
Batman stands next to his Batmobile and uses his Bat computer. He's sometimes Bruce Wayne, sometimes Batman, all times orphan. This is now a safe city. I have punched a penguin into prison, says Batman. Alfred, Batman's loyal battler, carries a tray of goth ham. Alfred, eat a dinner. Mattress Wayne. An explosion explodes. The Joker and Two-Face enter the cave. Joker is a clown, but insane. Two-Face is a man, but attorney. Batman. No, it is Two-Face and One-Face. They hate me for being a bat. Batman throws Alfred at Two-Face. Two-Face flips Alfred like a coin. Alfred lands heads up, which means Two-Face goes home. Batman, it is just you and I, the Joker. Batman versus clown. Moral enemies. The Joker, I am such a freak. Society is bad. You drink water, I drink anarchy. Batman, I drink bats, just like a bat would. Batman looks around for his parents, but they're still dead. This makes him have anger. He fires a bat rocket. The Joker deflects it with his sick sense of humor, a clownly power.
This is a robot wrote this.
The Joker. I have never followed a rule. That is my rule. Do you follow? I don't. Batman. Alfred, give birth to Robin. Alfred begins the process since it is his job. The Joker now has a present in his hand. He juggles it over to Batman. The Joker. Happy Bat Day, Bertman. Batman opens the presents. Since he's a good guy, it contains a coupon for new parents. But it's expired. This is the Joker's joke. This is a Joker joke.
That's so bad.
That's bad.
That was a robot wrote that.
A robot wrote that.
You know what they're talking about, where it's coming to, where it's going to get to a point, is that CGI is getting so good, and the computers are being able to write the script and make the movie. Mm-hmm. Without even having any
entertainment on demand.
On demand.
That's pretty much what that kind of was, but like in a weird way. But like, that's crazy. It watched Batman X amount of thousand times and came up with a script.
Yeah,
it's funny and weird.
But that's
going
to get to the point where like all of a sudden these CGI programs are going to have AI and they'll just fucking make movies.
It's a pulse.
Content.
It just gets bigger.
Like just bigger and bigger. And these movies they'll just put the formula in, because like the formula for like the hero story is fucking in everything. Mm-hmm. It's the same story over and over and over again. And it basically they'll just run that formula, and they'll run all the different analytics on how to do it. They'll take all the CGI that they can actually create, and they'll just start fucking pumping out movies.
And you'll see it through your sunglasses.
Like, just movies will just be coming out. Like, they won't
be in the movie. Yeah.
There won't be any actors. It'll just be like, everyone will be CGI'd.
That's crazy. I could see that actually happening.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a...
Well, that's the idea of Second Life, right? They're already kind of doing it now. Bruce Willis did a movie on a symbiote.
What's that?
Right, where you just like get into a pod and become a robot, and you live
like a mech, a mech suit,
like a cyborg.
That's what the movie was.
Yeah, or yeah. Where Bruce Willis, he's a broken down husband, and he comes back to his wife, and his wife is this beautiful, gorgeous woman you don't realize is an actual robot, but in reality she's in the room in a pod, and she's been there for years, and they're probably breaking up because he doesn't want to break up, but she's just like, I'm moving on, you know I'm a robot.
Well, that's that whole idea with that the Matrix sucks. Too, where we're just little brains in a vat, like little cells operating the machine, and they're just using our brains for like the magnetic pulse, for like the global what is it called? Where it's like the global consensus of like having one massive brain, mm-hmm. like everyone's connected to the thing, and everyone has one massive brain, and it's the collective of everyone that basically moves everything in a specific area. So there's no singular thought patterns, because it's kind of like that right now. Anyways, we kind of move in hives, like everything moves in a hive, everything works in a hive. We kind of we work like little ants, but now we just plug in, and now the machines do everything, and everyone's just in their pod and just experiencing life. Without having to actually fucking do anything.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so you're just doing it all in your brain. It's that whole brain in a vat thing.
Yeah.
Where, like, it's getting to that with the Matrix. Like, so...
That was my favorite movie of all time. I remember going with my aunt. And, like, I was so engrossed into the movie that I was... I idolized it so well that I feel like what I did is guessed the script as they were saying it. And I was getting it right. So often my aunt looked down and she's like, have you seen this before? And we went out the day it opened. She took me. Right.
How old were you? Like 7?
That was really, really young.
Yeah. That came out in 99.
But it's crazy how that it's like coming to fruition.
Yeah.
Like that shit was like 20 years ago almost, and it's like coming into fruition where like we got fucking Neuralinks kicking in where like it's plugging into the brain. And I was like, where people think they're gonna become superhuman, but are they gonna become superhuman or subhuman? Because like
a couple, I don't know where they are in the world, but they have themselves connected through a chip. So they can feel everything the other feels.
That's wild.
Everything, all the time.
I wouldn't like that.
They've been living like that.
There's a Black Mirror like that.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like a doctor.
I never watched Black Mirror.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, you gotta watch Black Mirror.
Everyone keeps saying, I gotta watch this, I gotta watch
that. It'll freak you out. Black Mirror is a little too close to...
Realism?
It's not real. It's futuristic, but it's...
It kind of makes sense.
You're like, this could happen. I can see this happening.
Yeah.
Some of them are ridiculous. Like, this one's dumb. Yeah. Some of them are like, this is doable.
Okay.
Yeah. I could see this happening.
Yeah. I could live in this world as long as I'm not them.
I can see them putting a chip in the military guys, so that way they don't have to deal with their emotions anymore. Like they can basically just kill on demand.
Shut it off,
or make the enemy appear as something else. Mm-hmm. Right. So that was one of them, and it was just like, what the fuck? Like it's just some weird shit.
So where's Lee Savage right now? What's Lee Savage doing?
He's right here.
Yeah, I know, but Lee Savage.
Making movies, doing merch.
You're making merch? This is one of your merches.
No, actually, it's not. This is a present, actually.
Someone got you.
I like the racing flag on the side. It's kind
of
dope.
Yeah, I really appreciate this. Most of the stuff I'm wearing is actually presents, which is really funny. Even the socks.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Thanks. So let's real quick here. Let's talk about you're launching a YouTube channel. You have a YouTube
no,
channel
I've
going
had
right
one
now?
For a while. The channel itself. It's going through like a revamp where in the fact that I'm trying to use it as a springboard for the acting platform kind of thing, right? Like it's got one video that is advertisable kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it makes a steady income. It's not a lot, but it has, like I said, in certain times of the year, it peaks and then it comes back down and then it peaks. And it seems to have just constant natural growth, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you were to like, look at a stock or anything like that, that's what you're kind of looking for, is constant growth.
The trend, yeah, the trend going up, uptrend. It goes down and up and down and up, but they always say trend is your friend in stocks.
Yeah, exactly. So I have a very nice friend here, right? So I've been thinking about building the YouTube into that direction at the same time, you know, How to Life, that's going to be the vlog brand, where I'm just kind of giving more about where I am in my acting and how to continue on further and faster and farther. And I may never get anywhere. Like, I may never fucking go anywhere. I may do this Bagman movie, and then, like, some guy goes, I don't care, right? And I never see anybody again, but I'll continue just acting. Like, I'll continue.
Are you doing the behind-the-scenes stuff on your thing?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the one thing that's really cool. Like, people, like I said, your experiences is where people would be like, what the fuck is going on, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So if you film all that stuff and just have a camera and film it. Do you know what? I don't mind filming. I hate sitting down and editing it afterwards because you have to be like, shit, now I got to spend 8 hours after I did this. Now I have to piece it together and make it look good. And
I mean, that's the funny part about it too, right? Because that's where I've gotten to the point where I've just stuck to the organizing and I'm not editing any of this stuff.
Well, not even that. You know what actually might be good is if you learn how to just bookend them,
mm-hmm.
right? Like get a program where you can just bookend your things and just stream it and bookend it, send it out. Bookend mm-hmm. it. Because content is king, so the more you can put out, the better. So you just start shooting little clippets,
mm-hmm.
little 1 minute clippets. But like, how you remember how you were doing those Viva things with the music things, Musically?
Oh yeah.
Those are pretty cool. Like,
yeah,
those probably got lots of views and stuff like that.
Yeah, the TikTok, that's what it is, right? So
where
like,
you would, like,
if I just start doing like more TikTok, yeah, I'll definitely get more garnered on that one as well. But that's the whole point of it, though, is I was I spent last night just setting everything up, right? Going through, making sure everything's set up, even specifically for like where to find me, how to book me, all of that stuff, right? Just making sure that there's an open and clear path to all of this stuff. At the same time, like, I've got to subsidize that because acting doesn't exactly give you all the money in the world to live, especially in Edmonton here. I love Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Like, I've tried to get out of it for 6 years, 7 years, like, but I keep coming back.
It's actually not a bad place. Like, you go other places. Like, I'm checking out Calgary, though. I think Calgary's...
I'd love to visit. It's
like, I don't know if I can live there. Like, I really love going down there and hanging out because it's just alive.
Yeah.
And I only think it's alive because, like, most of the people working in the oil rigs there work in the offices, so they haven't been fired yet.
Okay.
Everyone in Edmonton has been in the field, so they're all fired.
Dude, those office guys are getting beat up, too.
Are they?
Yeah, I know a lot of them there.
In Calgary, though, it seems still busy. Like, no. Still seems like there's still money in Calgary as opposed to like here.
No, they're
getting beat up too.
The white collar guys are getting beat up too. Yeah, people are getting. What ends up happening in those type of big companies is the mid level management ends up the ones getting booted out.
Hacked out.
Yeah, mid level guys.
The guys are basically in charge of like booking all the guys out here. They're like, well, there's no one.
Out here, so now you got to go.
Now you got to go.
I mean, they're a business. They got to look after the business. I mean, it's a tough decision. It's people's lives, right? Which is really shitty.
Well, I mean, again, what we were talking about earlier before the episode was just, you know, choosing to live through that. I can't remember how you said it down by the bench there, where you're messing with people's lives. So it's just like the crossroads.
Mm.
Like, other people are involved in it. people's lives are all there, so you make a decision, a choice.
Well, I think there's a transition going on now. If you look at the bigger picture, a lot of people are going through transition. You either sink or swim. Like, shit happens. Well, right now everything is kind of in this shift moment where everyone's shifting.
Yep.
So people are losing jobs, other people are getting jobs. Like, it's just, there's just like a transition happening where things are just shifting and other people are creating new things and it's giving opportunity. Like, there's a lot of buildings that are going, like, that have gone under and have gone up for lease now.
Construction is an amazing industry to be in Edmonton. Amazing industry.
Well, they're getting most of their money probably from, like, outside investors that are trying to invest.
That's exactly what Edmonton is, though. Yeah. Edmonton is nothing but foreign investment.
Mm-hmm. It used to be. It's not as nice anymore due to government climate. I know that.
Well, I mean, that's the only thing that stops Edmonton from growing is government climate.
Yeah, I know. Well, right? It's like, if you look at the map of things, it was so funny. It was Alberta, like, when the election happened, everything was blue. Mm-hmm. Like, when you look at who voted for what in their constituent, and then Edmonton is just orange. No blue in the slightest. It's just really funny. I think a lot of people here work for the government. I think there's a lot of government, like teachers and, like, things like that. Okay. Edmonton has a lot of that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like infrastructure.
Yeah. It's a lot of infrastructure type stuff. But, I mean, a lot of foreign guys don't want to invest money in that sort of situation. But
that's fine, because Edmonton's already becoming an entertainment precipice.
You think?
Well, yeah. It's already happened to Calgary, right?
Entertainment, how so?
Well, you're actually seeing more things come through here, right? Or I feel like there is more things coming through here. I'm not the person who watches the numbers of what actually comes through and what
doesn't. But on me, from the outsider point of view, I don't like that, because they just come in, take money, and fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that. I'm just like, okay, great. We have people coming in here and taking the money that we don't have coming in anymore.
You're talking about Rogers Place?
Well, like, not just Rogers Place. Rogers Place is to get people to come in from a tourist section too. Yeah, but also at the same time to entertain your people that are here.
Yeah.
Right? They've created a district that I love walking around downtown.
It's pretty dope. Yeah, it's getting nicer.
Exactly, right? So that's for everybody. It's more what he's talking about if you're specifically film, right? They come in. They spend whatever they can spend in here, take whatever they can take, and then they go. They don't cultivate it. They don't grow it. They just come in, grab, go. Come and grab, go.
Yeah.
There's no cultivation of anything here for it. That's why I'm saying there's no industry here.
Yeah,
and in fact, if there's an industry, what's going to happen is they're going to start trying to feed off of it, and they will.
Or they'll buy it out if an industry happens. They'll show up with a paycheck and be like, guys, we could crush you or we could buy you out.
And then they feed to it, but you're not going to feed to it with something that doesn't taste good. So if you keep getting crap quality coming out of the crap place, they're not going to put their tongue on it and be like, yeah, I want some of that.
Yeah.
Right? And they're not giving you anything.
So then what's going back to your goal again, your goal is to be the Edmonton.
I just want to cultivate the industry here. I want to help continue cultivating that stuff, right? But I'm not super freaking active in it where I'm like, joining rallies or signing petitions or anything like that. The only thing that I know how to do is work on my craft, because I fucking love acting.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's my thing. For me, it's something that I can use in a meditative state.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. So you're trying to be the change you want to see in the world type thing? You're leading by example?
I just want to be a good actor. Yeah. But, like, I mean, by example. I'm not going to say that I'm a good actor and then just like, Kaylee, you said you're a good actor. You don't have to show us. We'll just get a stand-in the entire time. Thanks for telling us, though.
So what's your end game, then?
Just to be an actor, man. And if that means that I get in nothing but I stay acting through Edmonton my entire life, then great. Maybe I can make there's a few people who do it here already. Maybe I can find a way to actually make that a subsidizing living, right? You pull funds from, you know, I grow my YouTube as well. I start selling some merchandise that actually comes out. Like, you start funding in different revenue sources and different places and everything like that.
Yeah, right? There's a lot of people here in Edmonton that basically live off of, like, the Alberta Arts Council, for instance.
But we're all talk.
Like, you know, like, they make their...
We're all talk. We want to do these things, but we don't.
Well, no, there's some people that do. Like, I've met some people that I'm just like, how long have you been doing this for? Like, they're, like, old. Like, people, I'm like, they just get a shitload of money from the Alberta Council.
They
know how to put the...
Proposals.
They know how to put the proposals
life's
together.
Not fair.
So they because they know how to do it. This is what I learned too in the film industry or even in the TV industry and stuff like that. There's a small group of people that know how to get the money, because the money comes from the Canadian Media Fund, the TELUS and Bell Media and Rogers Media and all these guys. They have to dump their money into the Canadian Media Fund. They're not allowed to buy stuff directly. And then the Canadian Media Fund, all the projects come out of
there.
Because
they want to keep it Canadian, or else TELUS and Bell, they just buy U.S., right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So they basically have to dump money into there. So it's part of
the government forces them to
do that. So then
All the projects, all the Canadian projects have to go to the Canadian Media Fund to get the money.
Yeah.
And then, but the thing is, the Canadian Media Fund won't give them the money until Bell, Tellus, or Roger agrees to give them the other 30% or agrees to broadcast their project. So they have to basically get in with those companies in order to get the funding from there. So if you can get Bell, Rogers, things to basically say, okay, yeah, we want to buy your project, then you'll get the money out of the media fund like that. No problem. You can just pull it right out.
It's a catch 22 though, isn't it?
So what happens is that if you have never done it before, Bell, Rogers, Telus, they don't want to hire you because you've never done this before. Mm-hmm. So they're just like, we're just going to stick with our guy. So they have their own producers that they work with that they don't care whether it's good or not. They have what's called a buyer. And the buyer is just like, I'll always buy from you because you always produce me something that I can sell.
Yeah.
Right? Whether it's good or not, I don't give a shit.
This goes back to the business side of things where it's just dollars and cents.
I'm like, you give me something that I can sell. I can basically, because my job's on the line. If I work for Bell and I am a buyer and I have $5 million to spend, you know, if I give you $1 million and you fucking flop that $1 million, my job's on the line.
Yeah.
So I don't want to give it to someone I don't know.
Yeah.
So I give it to my guy who basically
gives me quality consistent content.
Always gives me consistent content that I can bring back and then they can use it to advertise to. It might not be the greatest thing in the world, but it's always
saying is if you start cultivating proper quality coming out of this place, I don't care who's going to get it. Somebody's going to get to the point where it's just going to be like, there is good quality. Yeah, I'll try yours out.
Yeah.
Telus, Bell and Rogers will change. Taxi had Telus for 12 years. And then boutiques come by and took their experiential, not took it away. They just decided, well, we'll still go with Taxi and then we'll go with you guys too. Right?
What's Taxi?
It's a marketing agency based out of Toronto.
Okay.
Right? It's a really, really large one. It's in the States and it's in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes the bigger you get, the more watered down your product becomes. And so it'd be like, it's kind of shit now.
It's all watered down.
You know, but
that's the way it kind of ends up. It's just everything.
Your brands, all those brands are smashable.
Yeah,
I could rip apart their identities and you'd still understand who they are. It doesn't matter. All right, all those brands are totally smashable. That's why they're so as big as you. Like, we can just do this and everything else like that, because all these little brands, they're all like the same things you and I and everybody else here are trying to do. We're just trying to make ourselves to a point where it doesn't matter what happens to us.
People just know. Yeah, I get you. I was I'm reading a book from a friend of mine named Ricardo Leal. And he's got this book called 11 Principles of Living Your Best Life, I think is the name of the book. Okay. Raw, Naked, and Fearless. Anyways.
Raw and Awake?
No, yeah. I know. It's kind of cool, actually. A little play on words.
Yeah.
Anyways, Raw, Naked, Fearless, adding to your point here, it was really interesting that the reason why... he said this in his book, so don't quote me on it, but I'm quoting him. I didn't know this. Maybe I did. The reason why Santa Claus is wears red... is because Coca-Cola did that.
Yeah, it's a Coca-Cola ad.
I never knew that.
Yeah. Wow.
Until, I just read that this morning on the park bench.
Yeah, he was...
I was like, what?
Yeah, Coca-Cola was the one who invented Santa Claus.
Do your research on that one. That one's...
No, so that's exactly thing. What happened. Yeah. So St. Nicholas, the story of Santa Claus comes from St. Nicholas.
Yeah.
Which is...
Was he an old guy that just gave away nice things
to
kids?
It was an actual saint. He was a saint that gave away nice things. But then Coca-Cola... turned them into a commercial item, and then that logo, the image that's on, that's why Coke is the only one that's allowed to have Santa Claus on their
product.
On their product, because they invented him.
Well, they invented that version of him, which is
the red hat and the
how crazy! I never knew that.
And then jolly old man with the beard, like,
you notice how in any of those game shows or anything like that, they maybe show the one can, but there's nothing else other than colors of Coke.
Colors?
Yeah.
Like just white and red, that's it?
Yeah, they don't actually advertise at any point. That like,
they're not allowed to?
Drink with Coke, but like if you want to drink your Coke, it's right there, right? But no, they don't. They don't because, I mean, they've been around so long that you're already wired not to buy.
Well, Coca-Cola doesn't even really sell product anymore. What they're selling is the distribution method.
Yes.
That's what they're selling. Like their distribution method is where the value is.
100%.
Is the fact that you can give them a product and they can put it in every fucking corner store in the world. Like, that's where the power comes from Coca-Cola. It's not the actual product. They can sell any product. That's why they can just get... They'll just buy vitamin water and throw it into their deal, into their distribution.
Into their mix,
right? They'll just throw it into the mix. Like, we have the distribution.
throw it in.
Yeah. Imagine having a like a inventing a water or some bullshit like that. Like, you know, people invent these waters all the time, and then it gets picked up by Coke.
Yeah,
I'm done for life.
See CBD Coke water.
Like, how did
Coke gets back to the drugs?
Yeah. Yeah, I used to have cocaine.
I'm wondering if, because you remember 50 Cent used to have that one television show where he used to have people come in there and pitch their ideas to him.
Oh my God.
And I remember I saw one time of this show and a guy was like pitching his idea about how he should give him $10,000 so he can get out of debt. And he goes, I'm not your fucking bank. and he ripped into him and stuff like that. But I'm wondering, during that time, was that the time when he basically found vitamin water? And he invested in vitamin water because
I don't know.
Because he made a ton.
Because
he got a ton of money.
Yeah.
So like, if you really go back and if I think about it, he got a ton of money when he started doing the tour with Eminem and Dr. Dre, and then he did that TV show where he was looking for things to invest in.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, he invested in vitamin water, met some guy with vitamin water, and then Coca-Cola bought it, and then he's done. He made tons of money, and now all of a sudden, now he's got enough money now to invest in a TV show called Power, which again makes tons of money. The guy doesn't even make music anymore.
Nope.
He still makes music. Yeah,
I saw that one song he did, but like he doesn't.
Well,
really...
I mean, every now and then he'll go, but no, he's on to other things too, right?
What's the point of making music at that point? Like, what's he going to talk about that no one relates to?
Yeah,
I got 50 Cent in my car right now. An album called Power of the Dollar. That one makes sense because he was like broke and like talking about selling crack. You know, and I was like, I can kind of like, he was still hustling at that point. Now he's hustling just in a whole different ball game of hustle, but it's not like
100%.
He's not like scared where he's getting his next meal from or scared of getting killed, shot, arrested, whatever. You know, just a different hustle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he's scared of getting killed because there's like people kill each other in like business arbitrage. Like, oh yeah, his private jet went down. Like,
yeah. I don't think he's that. I think like,
I don't think he's that big though.
Yeah. He's doing super well. Man.
No, he's not that
like,
big.
But all of them do too, right? Like a lot of them, they all do other things. Like even actors do other things. Even like athletes do other things.
Yeah, they branch out.
Right? Yeah, 100%. LeBron James. It's just people get bored, so they need to do something new for a while, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think once you can get that kind of money, the next thing you do is you find yourself what do you call those guys that went to school for business? What's the acronym that they have for them? A BCom guy or like a high level fucking business guy who basically knows who to hire.
Yeah.
Like those guys are just basically okay. They just put systems together.
Yeah.
And you just hire this guy and you put systems together and the guy just collects his money, right? And just starts saying, okay, yeah, cool, let's do that. So people come up to him and says, hey, I got a business idea. This is what I can do, blah, blah, blah. Sure, how much
it's just cost it's me? Just multiple investing. That was the treasury. I've got a business idea. And everybody got involved.
And too many people got involved, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm working the front door of that place. It was a nightmare. There was 900 owners.
Yeah.
I think there was like 27 people that owned the place.
Well, they all invested in it?
Yeah, and they would roll up with 12 of their buddies all wearing like pajama pants and shit. Like, I'm like, yo.
It was their own personal playground.
It was their own personal playground, yeah. Which ended up with the demise of it, but
it's just what happens, right?
You live and learn. If I ever open up a nightclub, Stevie, I'm not letting you in for free, okay? Sorry, bud.
Support local artists. I mean, businesses.
Why wouldn't you let me in for free, man? Like, I'd be
because everyone drinks. Always lets everyone else in for free.
But I'd be going out there buying drinks from your bar and stuff like that.
Okay, I'll let you in for free.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't buy drinks, so I'm not drinking. But that's okay.
Well, then now you're not coming in and sponging them. Right? Jeez.
Now you got to pay Kochek.
Okay? Need your toonie. Holy shit. All right, well... I think we could probably wrap that up as an episode, to be honest.
Cool.
We're sitting out of time frame here, yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Lee Savage, can you tell the people where they can find you at? You have that YouTube channel coming out, so drop the YouTube name.
TheSavageLee.com.
SavageLee.com?
You can go to TheSavageLee.com. You can see a demo reel there. Like, the booking is all through there, but that has all my social media, so that you can just go and check it out from there, too. YouTube has all my videos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even get into the YouTube stuff, but, like, that was just something, again, I got lucky and just... Right place, right time.
What's the YouTube channel?
It's The Savage Lee. Everything is The Savage Lee.
The Savage Lee.
The Savage Lee.
Savage Lee.
The Savage Lee.
Savage Lee.
The last name, first name, Savage Lee. Yeah.
So you're Savage Lee.
He's the Savage Lee. Yeah, you're
Savage Lee.
Yeah, you're butchering his brand.
The Savage Lee. Three separate words.
He's The Savage Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's Lee Savage.
No, but he's...
It's a funny name. Yeah. I mean, I grew up with it and lived with it. Everyone asks, is it real? I'm like, yeah. I had three names in my life.
Is that French? Is it supposed to be like Savage?
Yes.
Lee Savage?
Yes. I nailed it. How sick is that?
100%.
I didn't even know that. I was just like, Savage isn't the name. I was like, that's Savage.
That's Savage. It's not Barkey. It's Barkey.
It is, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's German. It's Barkey, yeah.
Barkey.
Yeah, but I say, hey, my name's Cameron Barkey. They'll be like, I just say Barkey.
Yeah.
Or Bark. It should be Bark. He's silent now.
Bark.
Fuck, what a weird last name that is. Yeah. Jeez. It's almost as weird as DePeel. The fuck last name?
Russ. How you doing over there, bud?
Podcast off right now.
Yeah, all right. So
this
we got,
thing went to shit.
Yeah, we got The Savage Lee on YouTube. We got the savagelee.com.
Yeah, thesavagelee.com. You can find all the stuff from there. It'll just take you to all my social medias and stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, just keep following along. If you do support, it's realistically, we'll have this movie made within a couple of years. And that's a long time. But we have to shoot during the summer. We have to shoot during the winter. I mean, and we look for people who want to be a part of films, right? We need at one time, we'll need like 40 extras. But like, you ever corral 40 people, it's going to be kind of hard.
I'll be an extra.
Okay.
Yeah, you can bank on me showing up as an extra.
You'll wear a paper bag and a plaid shirt.
Can I be the bag man? I can, because the bag man's an idea. He's like a group.
You are a bag man.
Dude, I will be a bag man.
We need bag men.
Yeah, we need bag men.
We need bag men.
And Stevie doesn't recycle, so I'm going for Stevie.
No, he's going to be Bagman too. You're coming too.
Can we go for each other? Because what happens if a Bagman doesn't recycle?
Oh man, that's getting into some deep politics there.
That'll be like a paradox.
That'd be like the rogue Bagman. There's a Bagman who's like a phony Bagman.
He takes his bag off and he throws it on the ground.
And then all the Bagmen look at him.
All the Bagmen look at him, go, and then look down at the and they look down at the bag. All as a unit.
And then he has to run like Neo in the Matrix, like all the fucking Agent Smith's coming after.
Yeah. And he's like doing like a jump around and kicking all the Bagmen.
Yeah, we invented Bagman Uprising 2. Yeah.
Uprising 2. The Neo,
yeah. Okay, yeah, anyways, yeah, okay. That's Lee Savage. Let's wrap this guy up. Thank you so much for coming. Honestly, no, thank you. That was dope, man. That was cool.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It's good.
That's amazing. Yeah. I've always loved hanging out with you guys, even through little things like this.
Yeah.
One, so
nice.
Yeah, keep the history going.
Dude, nice. Yeah, for sure. Thank you. It's another thing to add to the checklist of weird things we've done together.
Fuck.
Not weird, but more so just like we got a podcast and we got like 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah,
I don't know how this happened.
I don't know how this happened.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of cool to.
This all started off from all the conversations we were having in the kitchen.
Yeah, we'll check this up, box off 10 years from now. Like, remember when we did that show? Yeah,
you're just doing things. And Sammy and I would talk about this all the time, right? Like you would just do things. You have to keep busy. You'd have to keep going. Shit's gonna crush you. You got to keep going. You got to keep busy, right?
Just keep doing things.
So you're just working, and it could be debilitating. It could be just downright crossroads where you're just like, I got to make a choice, right? Like but you just keep doing, right? You just keep going. And that's the only thing you guys have been doing too, right? So where you guys have come from, all of a sudden now I'm sitting in this room and I'm like, the only reason I'm here is because of history, right? So that's so fucking cool to me because now I have more history to add to that.
Yeah, it's neat. Like I said, something to put on the resume, more history and more experiences to chalk up to the whole experience that we're living in this life. Anyways, that's the Thought Exchange.
Okay, make sure you check us out, txcshow.com. That's the Thought Exchange every Thursday, 8 p.m. And make sure you join us on Tuesdays, every Tuesday at 7:45 to catch the behind the scenes on the little
360 camera that
the
dies
little
on
robot
us.
That yeah. kind of caps out because it's really hot in this mofo.
Yeah, I'm a little sweaty. But anyways, take care, guys. Thank you.
Peace
that's
out, guys.
An episode. See
later.
You guys.
Later.